From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Environmental activists the world over are making major headway in banning the use of so-called microbeads in personal-use products because of the plastic pollution of our rivers and oceans. The United Kingdom plans to enforce such a ban next year, and many corporations are also voluntarily removing the bizarre exfoliant from their products. But now people are setting their sights on other sources of microplastic pollution, namely glitter. If you have kids who like to craft, or if you like to add a little bling to your makeup, you're going to want to stay tuned in for this next interview with my guest, Tricia Farrelly. She is a senior lecturer in the Social Anthropology program at the School of People, Environment and Planning at Massey University at the Manawatu campus in New Zealand. Welcome to the program, Tricia. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for joining us. So first, let's begin with the issue of microbeads, since that's been what's in the news. There's been growing awareness of it. People now seem to get it if they've been paying attention. But basically, these are these tiny, you know, plastic beads that I suppose corporations thought would be a good marketing gimmick to get people to buy their products as an added exfoliant. And these microbeads were naturally going into our waterways and into our oceans. What is the main issue with microbeads? You know, why aren't they just this sort of harmless, inert object that that gathers at the bottom of our oceans and doesn't harm anyone? What does it actually do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are very lively objects, actually, Sonali. So while we see them as kind of frivolous and used often in cosmetic products, they're actually made to go down the drain. They go down the drain products. So they use as scrubbers and things, as you're saying, and cosmetics and sort of cleaning products, toothpaste and so on. The problem with them is that these scrubbers, these microbeads, are made of plastic, and a lot of people are unaware of that. The plastic that are used in some of these scrubbers can leach out toxins. Most specifically, what we refer to as hormone mimickers, estrogen mimickers, or endocrine disrupting chemicals. So often those terms are used interchangeably. Those can leach out of the products, which can disrupt the endocrine system of humans and animals alike. The additional problem with these microbeads, they're a category of microplastics, a broader, you know, sort of category of microplastics, glitter being another one of those. All plastics break down into microplastics. And when they become these very small pieces of plastic, not only can they leach out these toxins, so endocrine disrupting chemicals and other toxins as well, and the additives, plasticizers and flame retardants and things that they contain, but they also attract toxins to them as well, additional endocrine disruptors and other toxins in the form of persistent organic pollutants, dioxins and those sorts of things that we have floating around in the aquatic environment, whether it's marine aquatic or freshwater aquatic environment. This gets into our food system. We can see pictures of plankton under certain conditions in the lab, where we can actually see the microplastics inside the plankton. They get into mollusks and they're actually affecting the development of our fish variety of marine species. But they bioaccumulate up the food chain to the point where we end up eating them and they end up on our dinner plates. Not good for us, not good for them, and certainly not good for the environment either.
Hmm. Now, I understand that as you mentioned, there's many sources of microplastics. A lot of them are simply bigger pieces that break down into smaller pieces. Others are things that start out as smaller pieces, like microbeads. Right. We've covered on our program studies that show polyester clothing and the fibers that come out of clothing, and also acrylic paint that gets into the water. But an article in The Independent, where you were quoted, is the first time that I'd seen people actually identify glitter as a source of microplastic pollution. We've only been using microbeads for a few short years, but glitter has been around for a long time. Most glitter is made, I understand, of plastic, but there's also aluminium in them?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So it's PET plastic bonded to etched aluminium.
And I should say aluminium for American audiences.
Sorry. Yes.
I haven't lived in this country long enough to change the way I say that, but anyway.
Oh, well done. Yeah, exactly. So it's a combination of those two different materials. But of course, the PET plastic is a concern here. Aluminium obviously is as well, but that's another story. But the PET plastic, which these glitters are mostly made out of, have phthalates in them. And phthalates is an example of what I was talking about, these endocrine disrupting chemicals that can again disrupt the endocrine system, which has a huge number of different functions for humans and animals, and is problematic.
And yeah,
so they are a form of microplastic, right. And you were just mentioning microfibers, you know, polyesters and those sorts of synthetic fibers that actually most of our clothes are made out of. That's a whole other category of microplastics that is causing a huge issue. Microfibers actually are probably more problematic, scientists are now saying, than microbeads and things like glitter, because of their shape. So the shape of them means that they get stuck in the gut of marine animals more easily, and they stay in their bodies longer, and therefore they have a greater potential to leach toxins and to create problems there. Also more difficult for the animals to expel these plastics from their systems.
And you were saying earlier phthalates being the major issue with the glitter. PTH are the first three letters of that particular word, and that's also been an issue in other plastics as well, and everyday use plastics. Now, as I mentioned, glitter is something that's been around a long time. In what form is glitter a potential pollutant? Is it glitter that we wash down the sink, or is it glitter that gets into the soil or our landfills? I mean, we see glitter everywhere, not just in arts and crafts that kids do at school, but on makeup.
Yeah. So you have, cosmetic glitters, and your makeup makes a nice shiny sort of sheen on your face. That's also glitter. That also has plastic in it. And so when we think about glitter, we need to think about a broad range of different forms of glitter. It's not just the stuff that your kids might play with in preschools. It's wider than that. So the cosmetic glitter is part of that. I mean, you know, it's been a while since I've been in the rave scene. In fact, I don't think I was in the rave scene, but I now understand that the Kardashians leading this new sort of cultural sort of form of, you know, lots of glitter, partying, and that I wasn't aware of until recently when the water sort of blew up. And actually some people are saying now that they actually go through kilos of the stuff every year, whether it's a preschool, kindergarten, you know, childcare, daycare, or whether it's a party organizer. So it's recently actually been brought to my attention that the volume of the stuff that we're starting to use now is amazing. There's a huge amount of it, and I didn't realize. So it's one of those many microplastics that are an issue. The stuff gets into everything, you know. And the problem too, I think, with these kinds of microplastics is that they don't get washed down the sink, which will eventually end up in our marine environments and in our freshwater aquatic environments, and create issues for our marine and aquatic ecosystems. Because our water treatment systems, most of which can't extract these microplastics, particularly microfibers, from the water prior to entering the sea, the rivers, and so on, that's one thing. But the other thing is that the character, the quality of microplastics are generally lightweight, low volume lightweight, so they fly around, they kind of get into everything, and they become these materials that you can't actually capture very easily and, you know, to retain and maintain in one place. They're kind of rogue, and they get into everything and cause problems.
Right. As anyone who's handled an item that is covered in glitter, you realize it gets all over you, gets onto everything. And, you know, now we sort of, I think there is this growing awareness that it's not as innocuous as we might imagine it. It's not something that has no cost. Is this, you think, a moment where scientists are going to start to focus their studies on? There's been a lot of studies on microbeads. There's been a lot of studies on the plastic fibers that we mentioned from clothing. Has glitter been the focus of any studies? And if not, will it now be, you think?
Oh, I have no doubt, Sonali. I mean, the thing is that, you know, we're actually riding the tail end of a wave of a huge amount of European funding, $7.5 million worth of European funding for marine microplastics. So I have no doubt that because this has been in the news, I mean, it has so much media attention lately. I'm almost surprised myself, because for me, it's just another microplastic. It's not as, for me, it's actually not necessarily the most important microplastic. In fact, I would argue that microfibers are the most important. However, I would just want to say here that if this is the item, if glitter is the item that is going to be the vehicle for more public awareness about microplastics and plastic production, just consumption and disposal, more generally, then I'm really happy about it. We need to look at the bigger picture. We're now at the moment, 6% of the world's oil is now going into plastic production. By 2050, it's going to increase to 20% of our oil production will go directly into the production of plastics. At the moment, there's a 1-to-5 average ratio of plastics to plankton in the world's oceans. By 2050, they're suggesting that it's going to be about 1-to-1 in terms of fish to plastic in terms of weight. When I say 1-to-5 plankton to plastic, that's in some areas. They've been finding that some areas, some of the gyres, the world's gyres, that's what it looks like. Carbon budget share, at the moment, it's 1% of our carbon budget share is going into production of plastic. By 2050, it looks as if it's going to be up about 15%. So we have now seen a 20-fold increase in plastic production over the last 50 years, from 28 billion to 33 billion tons of plastic. So we're seeing an incredible increase in the way that we as a culture, as a global culture collectively, and of course there's differences between cultures, we know that, and between economies, but by and large we have this voracious appetite for disposable plastics, including glitter. You know, it's used once and then you might have it on a picture, your child's picture, for a while. It will drop glitter all over the place. We might go to one rave party covered in glitter. We wash it down the drain when we get home. It's used once, and usually these plastics are used from, what, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes from your car, your supermarket to your car with a plastic bag, to maybe an hour if you go to a party, or three, whatever. But we need to look at the bigger picture, and if glitter is a vehicle for that, I'm happy. So we also need to look at the economics of this, because $40 billion per annum at the moment is going, is the estimated cost from the, I think it's the World Economic Forum has given this average of the externalities. This is the environmental cost per annum of plastic production, $40 billion. Now that exceeds the profit pool that the producers make, the plastic industry makes. So we're not accounting for the externalities, and I don't even think that figure captures the human health impacts, because this is still something that is starting to gather momentum around the health impact of not just animals but humans, of the toxicity of consumer plastics. So again, we need to look at the bigger picture. And if glitter is the vehicle for that, that's great.
Right. I mean, glitter is something that we take for granted. We don't think of it as an environmental pollutant. But if we understand that these are teeny tiny pieces of plastic that are not going to biodegrade for an extremely long time, if at all, and that have the potential to cause us harm, then, of course, we do start thinking about plastics as a whole in a different way, which is an important thing, because you can push for bans, you can push for manufacturers to change how they do things, but then also public awareness can lead people to start to change their behaviors on a large scale, right? I understand, Tricia, that there is actually such a thing as eco-glitter that's biodegradable. I mean, I don't know if you've heard of this.
Yeah. And this is the crazy thing. Almost everything that you use that is single use, there is a better, safer, eco-benign alternative. However, I would just wanting to put a caveat here that I think there is too much. There should be an emphasis on consumer responsibility. I take responsibility for my consumption practices. However, I believe there's too much, and I almost feel as if there's a bit of a propaganda in a sense in terms of pushing for recycling as being, you know, the holy grail. You know, recycling will save us. Recycling will not save us. Only around 15% of the world's plastics are recycled. The rest
Wow.
of the plastics go to landfill, end up in the oceans, or places where they shouldn't be. Recycling will not save us. And in fact, if I go into a supermarket and do what I did for an entire year and tried very hard to go plastic free with my family and the kids and two people working, it is almost impossible. I mean, I'd like to encourage all of your viewers and your listeners to go into your local supermarket and just try to avoid plastic packaging. You can to an extent in one place, but then you need to go somewhere else and somewhere else to places who are sensitive to your efforts to be environmentally responsible. And what I'd like to say is, producers need to be more responsible by producing plastic packaging for a start that is eco-benign or at least can be easily recycled. You know, you can plastics that have a code on the back of it that you can almost guarantee that at most times there will be a market for it. And markets are very, you know, fluctuate all the time, but at least produce stuff that's recyclable. For me, better yet, produce stuff that's not toxic for humans or in the environment. Everything breaks down, and you said before that, you know, things will eventually biodegrade. Unfortunately, they don't, unless they are products that are truly biodegradable. And there are some bit of greenwashing in the market around bio bags and compostable this and that. So we have to be careful with that as well. People have to be very honest. Producers have to be very honest about what it is they're producing and how these things can degrade, under what circumstances, under what conditions, because a lot of the biodegradable bags, actually, if they're put into landfill, they don't biodegrade at all because it's not the conditions that are required for that. But I would like to see a bit of a shift away from consumers, you need to be responsible, to producers, you need to be responsible, and governments and states to support our consumers in being more environmentally responsible. Because at the moment, it's actually very, very difficult for us to do that.
Right. And so the greater public awareness there is, the more we can pressure both corporations and our governments to be more responsible. Tricia, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your expertise on this very important issue. And maybe we'll think at the very least twice about glitter and also hope that that's a gateway to thinking more broadly about microplastics pollution and plastic in general. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Tricia Farelli, Senior Lecturer in the Social Anthropology Program at the School of People, Environment and Planning at Massey University on the Manawatu campus in New Zealand. We've been discussing glitter as a source of microplastic pollution. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.